Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Help! I need somebody. Help! Not just anybody. Help! You know I need someone. Help! When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton.
And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
It's not that they had personal problems in the last 6 months and they couldn't get it done. No, it's 3 years and 6 months. And if there was some kind of list of excuses that was supposed to be attached to this agenda tonight, I didn't see it. But I'd really like to see what their list of excuses are that they can't meet obligations. And it's not Bob Cole, because he's not on the board. Hold accountable the board. Hold accountable the executive director who failed to bring up this thing in a timely manner. If they needed an extension, how about do it before it's due? How about do it before it's expired? They've failed all across the board, and then you're asking again to put the environment at risk and put everybody else's needs aside. What did they do with all the money that was supposed to have paid for all of this stuff? What did they do? They bought a bunch of yard tchotchkes. They're doing all this kind of stuff.
Just because there isn't a Milton City Council meeting doesn't mean that there isn't drama going on in the city of Milton. Oh, man. You know, it is a guilty pleasure, but I hear from so many people about how excited they get when they hear that music. That what now in Milton? Okay, so this is Jenny Weber, and there's so much backstory to this that it's really not worth getting into, but this is over the Butterfly House in Milton. And, oh my God, the allegations, the sharp words, the insults and barbs thrown. Bob Cole, former county commissioner, his wife is, you know, one of the leaders of the Butterfly House, the new one, and Jenny Weber is on the other side. Let's just put it that way. And what they're dealing with now is they got a temporary certificate of occupancy from the county, was the idea, while they work on stormwater improvements. And then now they're saying that they haven't been able to make those stormwater improvements. They need an extension on their temporary ability to operate. And that's the short version, okay? That's probably enough for you to just enjoy the drama. But again, this is one of those, you know, there's no grievance too small or too old that it can't continually shape public policy in Milton. Frances Andrews.
They're asking you to let them move in before they get the proper credentials. If you allow this, you're sending a message to all of us in the public. And the message is this: if you are an ordinary citizen, you have to follow the rules. But if you have some political figure who will speak for you, we will forgive you. That's the message that you are going to send.
And again, the idea being that Bob Cole is asking them to make an exception to their, you know, they gave one extension. They didn't have to give even the original exception, okay? And now not only do they want another exception, but they want that extended, right? And, you know, basically these people are saying, look, you're only doing this because Bob Cole talking for them. If Bob Cole weren't involved in this, you would never make any kind of accommodation like this for ordinary citizens, and that's the problem is, you know, the connected people, the people that know people get stuff done, and the people who, you know, just the ordinary person, they don't have these favors. Bill Walter.
Can I get a copy of the excuses for them not building this? Is that available?
I don't believe there's excuses for them not building this, but there's a chronology, and you can have my copy.
Okay.
That's Randy Jorgensen, the city manager. David Farrow, whose wife Marilyn Farrow is on the council.
As a businessman, I want to explain one thing to you. If you tell them they can't move in anymore until they have this thing built, it will be built in weeks, not months.
Thank you.
Meaning that the claim of extraordinary circumstances is not really true. They're just not motivated enough. And if you force them to have to live up to their obligations, they'll do it. Because they don't have really a choice. Sherry Chapman.
I'm sorry. I think you're getting handed a basket of bull.
Sherry was always good for a sound clip. Let's just put it that way. Sherry again.
You've already set a precedent by someone that came in here and gave you misinformation about having a certificate of occupancy. Being lied to one time, but being lied to twice, shame on you.
Thank you.
I got a rebuttal. I'm not a liar, ma'am. I'm not a liar, ma'am.
Yeah.
I got a text on my phone. I want y'all to know I got a text on my phone from Colton Wright. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
So that was Bob Cole jumping in after he had already talked previously and saying, I'm not a liar, ma'am. I'm not a liar. I do have a text, he says, from Commissioner Colton Wright certifying that they do have this temporary certificate of occupancy, because that was one of the things is that you know they were claiming, the opponents were claiming, that the county doesn't issue conditional COs. And, you know, I don't know the truth of the matter. It really doesn't matter for Milton City Council Melodrama Theater. but I don't think Bob Cole just makes stuff up like that. So, you know, known him quite a long time. I have known some people in Milton to make stuff up. I'll put it that way. I won't pick on anybody in particular. I didn't catch this person's name.
First off, I am not opposed to the Butterfly House. I think it's a fantastic idea and addition to this community. What I'm opposed to is allowing things to happen that violate our own codes, period. If we don't follow the rules, why do we have rules at all?
And, you know, it's always hard to tell whether the real motive is making sure the rules are followed or whether the real motive is we hate the people because we have a grievance with them over years who are involved in this project and will say anything in order to get that project stopped. But on a surface, the objection is a fair one. You know, they've had a lot of time. They had one extension. They're being made an exception for potentially. And so, you know, why are you making an exception for them? Is it because you've got this, you know, local connected person who's operating on your behalf, Tim Milstead, who's the planning director in the city?
The city has not approved any stormwater management plan for this project. A couple of different renditions have been submitted, but we have multiple reviews by the city's engineer. Both have indicated that they do not meet the city's stormwater management criteria. One was a larger scale stormwater pond, and the second was a much reduced scale stormwater management plan.
Meaning that they're really not ready to go, and that's part of what they're asking for an extension for, us to have an engineer come in and figure out the work and, you know, make it so that they can actually satisfy the requirements of the city and get the stormwater management done. Again, this person's name I didn't catch.
However, there is a section for penalties for failing to comply, and it specifically says, failure to perform an act that is required to be performed by ordinance or by rule or regulation authorized by an ordinance is the definition of failing. That's the penalty, except otherwise provided by law or ordinance. A person convicted of a violation of this code shall be fined for a Category 1 civil infraction, and it will continue for each day they are not in compliance.
Meaning that they're already in a situation where they should be fined daily for failure to live up to their obligations. And at the very least, in the near-term future, those kinds of fines ought to be applied.
I want this Butterfly House to succeed. I do not want there to be exceptions to the rule. If I was the one over there, would I get that extension?
For my business, for my project, if I weren't connected, is kind of the argument. So then City Council had their conversation. Jeff Snow.
I will support the extension. I hope they get it done quick. I think they're hearing some, we're all not real comfortable with this because it can happen again.
Yeah, so where, you know, he was at was, like, I guess I'm willing to give them the one more extension, but if they don't get it done this time, we're gonna have to go a different direction. This is not acceptable. But as he said, the council is very much on the fence about even that. Some people were opposed to that, but some people, even the supporters of giving them some time, were on the fence.
At this time, I'm not really sure if I'm in favor of it, to be honest, just because I feel like that we gave a generous extension to get the work accomplished.
And so that's Casey Powell, preferred to have more time. Gavin Hawthorne preferred to have more time. Marilyn Farrow, again, always understand in the city of Milton, it's almost always going to be a 6-2 vote with Marilyn Farrow and Mike Cusack on the no side.
Ma'am?
As it stands right now, I would oppose the extension.
Yes, sir.
I would oppose the extension as it sits, unless something comes up June 11th, that changes.
So June 11th is that next meeting, I think, is what they were talking about when they'd actually get to make a decision on this, because this is this is a work session. Okay, it's not a voting meeting. So there you have Marilyn Farrell, Mike Cusack are a no. Jeff Snow and I didn't catch everybody else's exact position. Maybe Shari Sebastian was a yes. But then you have Gavin Hawthorne, and you know you've got Roxanne Meese and one more whose name all of a sudden I just can't think. Matt Jarrett, I guess, who would be on the uncertain, you know, or you know the vote was undecided. Okay, so Randy Jorgensen says I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this because there's no consensus.
Okay, here's the quandary that we're in. I don't have a majority on either side because what I have is three opinions that haven't definitively been expressed. And I don't have a majority of the members either for or against.
Like, what you want me to do with this? You know, some of you are totally a no. Some of you are a unenthusiastic yes. And some of you are a, eh. Well, you know, what am I supposed to do with that? There's no direction from the council.
Technically, under the code, between now and June 11th, the code would indicate that the city will not allow the vivarium to be occupied for any purpose going forward between now and June 11th. Okay? And that's why I was looking for a sense of the council.
So are you going to allow people in there or not? Are you going to allow them to charge, you know, admission or not? And how are they going to raise money to pay for the engineer to pay for the stormwater pond if you don't allow them to charge admission is kind of the idea here. Well, sounds like you're saying they can't do that anymore. Is that what you mean?
When I get up from this table, Mr. Milstead is going to be instructed to enforce the code as it's currently found until such time as he's told otherwise. That may or may not occur on June 11th.
So is that what you want?
I will look for input within the next 48 hours. If I don't receive it, the direction to the planning director and our code enforcement officer works 7 days a week. Okay, keep in mind, code can be enforced on Saturday, on Sunday, on Monday, and we can fine each and every day if that's what we choose to do.
So basically, he was at the time this was decided, it wasn't decided, but he was going to wait on input from Gavin Hawthorne and Casey Powell about what their position was. Because if they were willing to allow maybe an extension come June 11th, then they wouldn't start enforcing the daily prohibitions and the fines. And if they were not interested in giving them another extension, then they would start enforcing the fines and the prohibition. So without having had a public meeting, we leave it there for now. But as always in Milton, it is you're a liar, you're a liar, you're no good scoundrels and terrible people, and you hate butterflies. We love butterflies. We just don't love the way you're doing this particular project. And thus concludes today's episode of Days of Milton. Just to remind you that it's not quite the House Oversight Committee. But not every, you know, it's kind of like, you know, in dramas, you got to have your high points, your low points, your in-between points. Got to have a little bit of semi-calm, and that's what we were going with here. 5:23. Oh, and by the way, there's other stuff from this meeting that was far more entertaining and dramatic, and we'll get you that stuff later. Don't worry. I'll satisfy. Don't worry. 5:23 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors, great place to go looking for a car. And, you know, listen, it's almost new cars. Cars that you can count on, cars that are a year, 2, 3 years old. Great condition, low miles, good prices. There are about 300 different cars on the lot, and you can look at a whole bunch of different things. You can find exactly what you want, or if you don't find exactly what you want, they can go looking for it. And one of the things to kind of pay attention to is, you know, you hear me talking about them, that's great. You hear Dave Ramsey talking about them, that's great. But we're just two guys on the radio, right? Now, you might know people who went there, and so you probably know people had good experience. But also, if you're driving around, keep an eye out. You might see a bumper sticker or a license plate frame that says Frontier Motors, and maybe you never paid attention to it. I mean, you've certainly seen them. Maybe you never cared. Just do a little research as you're driving around. Keep an eye out, you know, and look. And when you see one, go, oh, okay. What'll happen is, like, the first day or two you do this, you might see one, two, three. You might see none the first day. Second day you do this, two or three, four or five. And then by about the third day, it's going to feel like, is there anybody else selling cars in the area? Because you'll see them everywhere. And that's the point. Those are all recommendations, too. So Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them the license plate frame sent you.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Visit Prim and Proper, the premier destination for unique gifts in Gulf Breeze, specializing in adding that extra touch of thoughtfulness to any occasion with expert engraving services. From elegant monograms to heartfelt messages, they bring visions to life. With a wide selection of gifts for birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, and more, there's something perfect for everyone. Prim and Proper also excels in corporate, employee, and client gifts that leave lasting impressions. Visit them online at primandproper.com.
We used to argue about whose turn it was to clean the gutters, but then I had Leaf Filter gutter protection installed.
Wait, I told you Leaf Filter had free inspections and estimates and a lifetime guarantee.
Meaning we never have to argue about whose turn it is to clean the gutters again.
But I visited leaffilter.com/beacon first.
No, I did.
It doesn't matter who. Visit leaffilter.com/beacon to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off today.
See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before pep talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
People keep asking if I'm back, and I haven't really had an answer. But now, yeah, I'm thinking I'm back.
Category, restaurant and dining. The nominees, Tony Quash, Eurasia Bistro, Marie Glynn, Fisherman's Corner, Amanda Norris, Chick-fil-A, Bayou Boulevard, Chef Jerry Doyle, McGuire's, Caitlin Pemberton, Coastal County Brewing Company, Matthew O'Connor, Paul's Pizza and Daiquiri Bar, Kaylee Orizondo, Sonny's Barbecue, and then Jimmy McClellan Casino.
Woohoo!
Jimmy!
Yeah, our boy Jimmy, nominated for an award in the category of restaurant and dining by Visit Pensacola for the Hospitality Heroes yesterday at the Visit Pensacola luncheon.
Crazy. You texted me and you said, did you know you're nominated for this? And I said, I don't even know what that is.
I feel like they should have at least told you, not like Visit, but like your other employer. Like they should have, you know, hey, Jimmy, we put you up for this award. You're a finalist. Didn't want to overmotivate you.
Nope. Well.
you didn't win.
Yeah.
But the fact that you were, we're all looking up at the, you know, Brent Lane and Mel McRae and our owner Dave Hoxing and Kevin King, and we're all looking at the board and we're like, that's Jimmy.
Wild.
So good job, man. People like your work, which we know from our own experience. We like your work too. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Congratulations, Jimmy. That's pretty cool.
Well, he didn't actually win.
But being nominated is a big thing. You said it yourself 10 seconds ago, Andrew. Hey, Barack Obama was a surprise guest at President Biden's state dinner in honor of Kenya yesterday. Obama's father was from Kenya, and Barack Obama was not actually on the guest list for that event. There were about 500 people that were there. Rap mogul Sean Diddy Combs facing a new lawsuit from a woman that accuses him of drugging and sexually assaulting her over 20 years ago. She's now the sixth woman to come forward with assault allegations against him. And ADHD diagnoses are on the rise. A new CDC study says that attention deficit and hyperactivity disorder is becoming an expanding public health concern. They say about 1 in 9 American kids were diagnosed with ADHD in 2022.
So then you ask questions, right? You ask questions like, A, is the diagnosis easier to get these days than it was in the past, as in have they changed the threshold for applying the diagnosis? Or B, are we doing something different in the way we're raising our children and our boys in particular that's making them more prone to develop this kind of a problem? I don't know. It could be that if you stick a child in front of a digital screen for hours and hours and hours a day, and maybe they don't get outside access and physical interaction with their friends, and maybe, possibly, just theoretically, that could affect cognitive and behavioral development over the course of time. I'm just, I know it's a crazy theory. I know it's an insane theory. It could possibly be that triggering a dopamine response as a reward mechanism for addicting people and children to screens through interactive mechanisms on video games or social media or other even less engaged platforms, possibly that could create a situation that could change the capability of that child to pay attention over long periods of time, to develop the discipline to handle situations like boredom, you know, or to focus on... just theoretically. I mean, I know it's an unlikely thing.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Monster welcome for former President Donald Trump in the very blue South Bronx.
Trump's appearance was his first major campaign event in New York in 8 years, drawing an estimated 25,000 supporters when only 3,500 were initially expected to attend. The former president was met with cheers and excitement from supporters as he vows to cut taxes and turn New York City around.
Fox's Brooke Singman reporting. Greenville, Iowa in mourning while most residents are looking to put their shattered lives back together following a massive tornado.
I can't even tell you the amount of debris that has been collected and hauled off. In some of those streets, it looked like a different place.
Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds. Israel's army says the bodies of three more hostages killed on October 7th were recovered overnight from Gaza. We are learning this as the UN's top court prepares to rule on whether Israel must halt its military operations and withdraw from the enclave. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio Pensacola. Right now, 75 degrees. It is partly cloudy this morning in Pensacola. Federal forecasters predicting an above normal Atlantic hurricane season, including anywhere between 17 and 25 named storms.
Of these, 8 to 13 are forecast to become hurricanes.
That's NOAA's Rick Spinrad, and he predicts there will also be 3 to 5 major hurricanes. The increased activity due to several factors: the near-record warm ocean temperatures and the development of a La Nina weather pattern. And there's already one storm out there. The National Hurricane Center is tracking a disturbance in the southwestern Atlantic that's moving away from the mainland. The period dubbed the 100 Deadly Days of Summer due to a spike in fatal crashes among teen drivers begins on Memorial Day. Looking at statistics from 2023, Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody says the name fits.
So that's 83 deaths, 6 deaths per week involving teens and crashes right here in Florida during these summer days.
Moody says you should talk to your kids about being safe on the road this summer and warn them about the dangers of distracted driving, having friends in the car, and of course, the importance of wearing their seatbelt as well. A federal judge now having some second thoughts about his ruling on a state immigration law this week. Judge Roy Altman yesterday blocked part of a state law that makes it illegal to transport an illegal immigrant into the state. Yesterday, though, Altman issued a new order questioning if the ruling on Wednesday was too broad. He's now asking the state and the plaintiffs to submit written briefs within 2 weeks on how broad that ruling should be. Then he could determine if the ruling applies to just the plaintiffs or the South Florida district under his jurisdiction or potentially the whole state. And Pensacola Beach lifeguards are now stationed at Perdido Key. Escambia County Public Safety says that started yesterday. Through August 11th, lifeguards will be on Perdido Key at public access number 2, and they'll be there each day from 10 to 6. But in addition, a roving lifeguard will be traveling to public accesses 1, 3, and 4 to monitor the water and make contact with beachgoers.
Where to swim, here's the sandbars, here's the currents, here's the conditions for the day. And you have to have a physical presence to do that, right? There's only so much that signs and flags can do.
That's Deputy Beach Safety Chief Alex Johnson. People swimming in Perdido Key are encouraged to stay near the lifeguards while they're at the beach, especially in the most populated areas. It is 534, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast this morning.
We are going to have a beautiful day today with mostly sunny skies, high near 86 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 74 degrees. Keeping that nice weather around as we head into Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, plenty of sunshine, high near 88. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 74. For Sunday, high near 87 and a low near 76. Stay connected at Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 75 in Pensacola, 73 in Gulf Breeze, it's 72 in Milton. Our next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. OpenAI has backtracked on a controversial decision to make former employees choose between signing an NDA that would never expire or keeping their vested equity in the company. The internal memo was sent to current and former employees and said the company will not enforce any other non-disparagement or non-solicitation contract items that any employee may have signed. The NCAA and its five power conferences have agreed to allow schools to share revenue and pay student athletes for the first time in the history of college sports. The tentative $2.8 billion settlement announced could result in athletes receiving pay as soon as the fall of 2025. The federal judge overseeing the case must still sign off on the agreement. Futures are slightly higher. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials lost 605, the NASDAQ down 65, and the S&P 500 down 39. It was the Dow's worst session since March of 2023. That's your money now.
Naval Air Station Pensacola has a significant economic impact in our area. It employs more than 16,000 military and 7,400 civilian personnel, and the headquarters for Naval Education Training Command, a command which combines direction and control of all Navy education and training. There's a lot more you can know by tuning in Monday morning at 9 and hear what's happening at NAS Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
At any time.
Again, we are dealing with a tornado warning right now. This is going to be in Santa Rosa County.
At any time.
And Steve, you're looking at the radar. What are you seeing right now?
When you need to know.
Well, on the News Radio ThreatNet radar, the showers are covering the entire north part of Escambia County, moving into the downtown area.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
When you need to know.
News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Morning, 5:38 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. By the way, when I was driving in this morning, I was hearing some of our, we occasionally have these atmospheric condition problems with our FM signals, 92.3 and 95.3. Just always remember, if you're having that issue, you can always listen on the AM signal at 1620, listen on the app, News Radio Pensacola, download it to your phone, or tune in, or listen online. But, you know, you can always catch the AM signal. That is a nice, bright, loud signal compared to the FMs, which are smaller power signals, basically, in order to get it on the FM here locally. Mike Wood is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. We spoke with him yesterday. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So the mayor gave us an update on Monday about the noise ordinance enforcement by off-duty police officers. Seems like a number of infractions were written up, yeah?
Yeah, you know, there's going to be a lot at first, and the way we can gauge whether this is working or not is a couple of ways. One, the complaints will go down, and two, so will the citations and the traffic stuff. So, we had 25 loud exhaust citations, 6 loud music, 1 no insurance, 5 disregarding stop signs, 1 drifting or stunt driving. We had 2 for dark tint, 1 felony warrant arrest, which was a warrant that Escambia County had on an individual. We also had a felony driving while license suspended, and we had 2 unregistered vehicle citation. So pretty active for 2 days.
So if you have eyes on the street, or ears really on the street listening for noise violations, and then you pull people over, and in the process you get a couple of unregistered cars, a couple of unpermitted drivers, a couple of, you know, arrest warrants that you find the person as a result of having pulled them over for this infraction. In addition to cutting down on the noise, that's also a benefit, right? I mean, you know, and it doesn't cost the city anything because the Downtown Improvement Board is paying for it.
Yeah, that's true. You know, if you just would have had your music turned down, you wouldn't have got arrested for driving on a suspended license. And that happens a lot, you know. If you just would have had that taillight fixed, you wouldn't have been arrested on a felony warrant out of California.
There you go.
That sort of thing happens all the time.
So I have a weird practical question. Are your officers on foot, on bike, in cars, the off-duty ones? I just don't know, and it seems like being in a car would be less practical, but then if they're on foot, you know, flagging somebody down to write them a citation, you tell me. I don't know how this is practically working, but I'm curious.
No, it's all the above. So we can have officers on doing all of that. In fact, a mixture of both. If an officer is on foot walking Palafox and spots an individual with loud music or loud pipes, he can call ahead to the officer that's in a marked vehicle a couple of blocks down and let him know to stop that vehicle, and a citation is issued. So let this be a warning. Just because you don't physically see a marked police car down there does not mean you're not being watched. This is something that's common, and again, they're on foot, they're on bicycles, they're in vehicles.
You mean you guys work as like a team?
Yeah, I mean, it happens all the time. Things work out better that way.
So I thought I heard the mayor say that it was Thursday and Saturday. So this is not necessarily continuous 7 days a week enforcement. This is whenever they do hire the officers. Am I right about that?
Well, yeah. So Friday was we didn't do it Friday because there was gallery night. Palafox was shut off. So
makes sense.
But I do want to reiterate that the DIB portion of it, paying the officers off duty, was for those 2 days. But we have street officers that are still enforcing these same laws,
sure,
all over the city every day.
Okay, which makes perfect sense, of course. You also managed to make a couple arrests for the jewelry thieves from the kiosk at Cordova Mall, right?
Yeah, that investigation is still going. Our investigators identified who was involved in that and where they lived, which was down in Central Florida. They contacted the sheriff's office down there to assist, but the owner also hired a private investigator, which is something we certainly don't mind. That individual is able to go straight to this location and watch for these people now that he knows that there's a warrant. And when he sees them, all he has to do is call 911 and have an officer stop that vehicle or those people wherever they are and make that arrest on the strength of a warrant out of Pensacola. So that's exactly what happened. If you contact a law enforcement agency and tell them we have a warrant for these two individuals, they live at so-and-so location, especially down in Central Florida, they're very busy. They may not be able to get to it immediately, or is a hired private investigator is able to go straight there and take a look and sit there and watch for those people. And that's how this arrest happened.
And apparently caught up with them as they were leaving and followed them, I guess. So like really did the kind of on the street following a suspect, getting them to an arrest situation. So seems like all good. And you recovered some of the jewels, right? Some of the stuff that was stolen has been reacquired, right?
Yeah, some of the stuff has been recovered, not all of it. We're still looking into that. The investigation's still going, and
sure.
And there's certainly the possibility of more arrests to be made.
Gotcha. We're talking to Mike Wood, Public Information Officer for PPD. Mike Wood. You know, I got a text in, and I know it's an easy answer, but I'm going to let you answer the question because I think it's maybe it's one that people have. Somebody says, why does PPD have to get paid to do their job? I mean, come on, violations are obviously there. Just do it. How long do you have to wait for the DIB to pay to do your job?
Well, that's a simple answer, and it's just like the officers that are down there working in the bars. They are down there for a specific reason, hired by someone to make them stay in a certain geographical location, to concentrate on that area, whereas the street officers are all over the city. And again, they are enforcing the exact same laws. It's just that the DIB is paying additional officers to stay in a certain area, which is namely Jefferson Street, Palafox, the downtown area, where it's very busy to look for these violations, because there's been several complaints that came in from bar and restaurant owners, and that's what we're down there to address.
Yeah, I mean, a typical shift for PPD is what, like 30 or 40 on the street at a moment? Am I roughly in the vicinity?
We're not going to get into numbers because that fluctuates, but
okay.
I can tell you that sometimes we just, when you're going call to call, you don't have time to concentrate
right.
as much on traffic as you would like to. But these officers that are working in the off-duty capacity are focusing just on these violations, just on these complaints that have come in.
Right. So, I mean, again, making up a number. Let's say there's, 30 PPD on duty at a moment. They're doing all their normal stuff. They can make these citations if need be. Well, now you've got 32, and the two are tasked for this particularly, so that, alleviates the challenge of the other ones having to be taking care of this, which may be a low-level priority given other things that are going on. So that'd be my answer, which I think is kind of the same answer that you were given, just said it a little different way. Wanted to ask you, we got a pretty good report this week about the level of overall safety in Pensacola, right?
Yeah, this survey was done by U.S. News and World Report. They do a lot of surveys in many different categories, and this one particular one was the safe cities in the United States, and Pensacola came in at number 4, and we want to, that's something that we're very proud of. This is for the city limits only, the city of Pensacola, and, that's not a surprise to me, and it shouldn't be to you and your listeners, because how many times have we done these Thursday morning interviews, and we don't have enough to talk about to even get us through traffic on the 5.
Right.
Some of your other interviewees, they go over and over and over. It's longer, but sometimes when we're talking to the Pensacola Police Department, we simply don't have enough content to go very long, which is a great thing. It's a win for us. So it doesn't come as a surprise to us, and we hope we can keep that up.
Absolutely. Oh, somebody also texted and said it's kind of like when, going back to the officers, if we do a fundraising walk or a charity event, you hire off-duty PPD to, make sure that there's safety. They enforce the law. They're doing their job, but that's just extra on top of what's normally there. I'm not sure why people don't get that. It seems fairly straightforward to me. Last thing, we always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. This one was like I saw this on Facebook. This was one of those, the things my parents told me that turned out not to be true. So I was going to ask you, not my parents, but, in general, is it or is it not illegal to drive with your dome light on inside your car for an extended period of time at night?
It is legal to do that. It's just not safe. I mean, most of the time people, when they're distracted, they're on their phones, which obviously has its own light. You don't need the dome light. But when you can't find your phone, you might turn that dome light on to look around while the vehicle's in motion. And it's while it's legal to do that, it's just not safe because obviously you're distracted, you're looking around. That's going to ruin your night vision and your reaction time. So it's just something that's not safe to do.
You mean fumbling around inside your car while you're driving with the dome light on? But if your wife's looking at the map, when we used to have maps on the paper, it'd be kind of a funny ordinance to write too. Because how would you write that? Like you can't make it illegal to turn on at all. For 20 seconds or more, it'd be kind of a funny law to write, right?
Yeah, I believe it would be. If I stopped somebody that was looking at a road map, I believe I would take a picture of that instead of getting onto them, because that's something you don't see much anymore.
That would be one you don't see anymore. Not a big market in road atlases these days. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, sir.
That'd be me in that video, by the way. as I think I proved later on in the show when we talked about whether you use paper maps anymore for our frivolous topic, I did go out to my car in the break and brought in to prove for intern Nadia and producer Jimmy that not only do I advocate for the paper map, but I had, what would you say, 20 in my car?
It looked like 20 from each state that you lived in.
Including several from the great state of Oregon, mm-hmm. which was our previous residence 10 years ago, and which most likely in my entire life I'll probably never return to. But it's good to have 3 copies of the Oregon mm-hmm. fold-out map in your car.
Just in case you ever do.
You never know. Hey, a Boy Scout is always prepared, right? I mean, that's the truth. Hey, if you think about a BMW, Porsche, Mercedes, Genesis, Audi, Jaguar, Lexus, these are great brands. You pay extra to get them because, quality costs sometimes, right? Well, guess what? Service doesn't have to cost. You don't have to pay extra. You don't have to go to the dealership. You don't have to spend the gas, the time, and the extra prices. You can go to Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. They work on these vehicles all the time. No problem. Domestic cars, too. Chevys and Fords, they're not against you. They just, you know, Dodge. That's fine. You can take it to Bobby Likas. Domestics and imports. Gas engines and diesel engines. They work on all of that. And the philosophy there is they want to see you routinely. You know, you go to the doctor for a checkup, go to Bobby Likas for your service appointment. You know, your regular preventative scheduled maintenance so you can avoid, it's literally called preventative maintenance, so you can avoid the big, unexpected, catastrophic, and typically more expensive problem. CarClinicService.com, that's the website. Check them out or just drop in for, you know, without an appointment if you want to, just stop by. Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Mex Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of Pensacola State College students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Registration for the summer and fall semester is now open. Go to PensacolaState.edu. That's PensacolaState.edu. Go here.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Include Fort Pickens in your Memorial Day weekend activities. Sunday and Monday, check out living history displays and demonstrations. See Fort Pickens Memorial Weekend on Facebook. Enjoy the sun, sand, and music at the 7th Annual Family Beach Festival, Saturday at the Gulfside Pavilion. A fun day of celebration and inspiration. Please see Family Beach Fest on Facebook. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Bruce, I'm God.
Bingo! Yahtzee! Is that your final answer?
Our survey says God!
Bing, ding, 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 ding. Well, it was nice to meet you, God. Thank you for the Grand Canyon, and good luck with the apocalypse.
Good morning, 5:52 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and this is kind of an interesting note. Something that I kind of went down not quite a rabbit trail yesterday, but I just kind of it was a something I hadn't realized, and so I went and did research and then more research and then more research. And the story that led me to this opening the ground, so to speak, is that the remember the political consultant who had put out that fake Biden message ahead of the primary voting in the Northeast? Where was this? I forget. I thought I had it in my head that it was New Hampshire. Yeah, New Hampshire, where he basically the voice of Biden generated by AI was sent to black voters to tell them to save their vote for the general election. As if you couldn't vote both in the presidential preference primary and also the general election. And so, the effort was to discourage minorities from turning out and therefore get somebody else to get the nomination. Like, that was kind of the idea behind it. Well, the FCC is now moving to explicitly outlaw unsolicited robocalls that use voices made with AI. That comes after this case. The proposal would outlaw. Oh, sorry. This is actually. They have now outlawed. because the political consultant is now facing charges over this, a $6 million fine proposed by the FCC against Steve Kramer. That's the person who admitted that he sent the calls out. Now, he's trying to say that he did this as a way of showing people the danger of the practice. Anyway, it was sent out and, you know, people behaved accordingly. It didn't really change the outcome, but, you know, this is something that happened. Well, I looked because I had thought, how can you fine somebody for something that's not illegal? Like, I didn't think this was illegal. Well, I, again, went back and read, and in January, the FCC had started moving to make AI-generated robocalls that might be used for political or for fraudulent purposes illegal under the Telephone Consumer Protection Act in 1991 that says that automated political and marketing calls made without the receiver's consent can be subject to a different level of restriction and scrutiny. And they actually did, in fact, pass that as of February 8th. Today, the FCC announced unanimous adoption of the declaratory ruling that recognizes calls made with AI-generated voices are, quote, artificial under the TCPA. And the ruling, which takes effect immediately, makes voice cloning technology used in common robocall scams targeting consumers illegal. This would give state attorneys general across the country new tools to go after bad actors behind these nefarious robocalls. And as this has proliferated, and as far as I can tell, still it does include, you might think maybe this is only for consumer fraud. No, it does include politics as well. So I had not heard that. I know that state of Florida had worked on putting a disclaimer on AI ads. So I'm not quite sure why we need a disclaimer if it is prohibited under the FCC, if they're not both in operation. Anyway, so just that was encouraging to me that the federal government had actually made a move in this direction, something that I don't remember getting covered, and I certainly did not report on. So, good. Yes. Using AI voices without the receiver's consent and without the cloned voice's consent should be illegal. Clearly, 100%, period, end of story, should be illegal. And the FCC says that it is. At 5:56 here on News Radio Pensacola, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, railway company Norfolk Southern has agreed to a $310 million settlement with the federal government over last year's train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. The company will pay about $235 million to cover the costs of the EPA's efforts to clean up after that derailment. Hurricane season about a week away now, and according to NOAA, it could be a busy one. They're predicting the most aggressive hurricane forecast ever, including 17 to 25 named storms, 8 to 13 hurricanes, and 4 to 7 major Cat 3 or stronger storms. And there's a new deal between the NCAA and the country's five biggest conferences that could pave the way for student athletes to be paid. Yesterday, the NCAA announced a tentative agreement to a series of antitrust lawsuits that could direct millions of dollars to college athletes as soon as fall of next year.
$2.8 billion to avoid $20 billion. Like, that was the scope of this thing if they hadn't said yes. It was kind of familiar, you know, in Pensacola, we're paying $5 million for the Ramey Edler and the federal government lawsuits under Medicare to avoid $20, $30, $50 million. Anyway, yeah, this is a really interesting deal. David, thanks so much for the update. 14,000 former and current college athletes who say that the now defunct rules preventing them from getting name, image, and likeness income from endorsement and sponsorship deals. This is basically to go back and benefit them for what they were prohibited from benefiting from originally, and this is to avert the lawsuits. There's actually another lawsuit group that is still out there and is not part of the settlement, apparently. There's going to set up a $21 million revenue fund to share with athletes per year, each school per year. One of the issues here is that they're talking about creating a super division, like a division zero or something, in which every participating school would be paying its athletes a minimum of $30,000 per year, just straight paying athletes. I mean, that's kind of one of those things that may be coming. You've also got interesting questions like Title IX. Would you be required to pay female athletes in participating NCAA schools the same amount of money, either per student or in the aggregate, as you're paying to men, since it's the male sports that generate all the money? Will Title IX be applied? That's, I think, an undecided question yet, but it's a very, very interesting one. So there's a lot still to be decided in all of this, but, you know, billions of dollars are coming. That's avoiding a much bigger judgment against the NCAA. And, you know, do keep in mind that, as Justice Brett Kavanaugh wrote in the Supreme Court ruling from a couple years ago that opened up name, image, likeness stuff, he says, the bottom line is that the NCAA and its member colleges are suppressing the pay of student athletes who collectively generate billions of dollars in revenues for colleges every year. And these settlements and these court cases are an effort to remedy that a little. Is it going to destroy amateur athletics in the United States? Well, clearly it's a new day for that. Did it destroy or did it just recognize what's already
Stream
changed?
Us at newsradio923.com. Newsradio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.